How's everybody doing? Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. See your pens. Let's see your bulletins, your notes, bulletins. Turn to Luke 22, please. In 2 weeks, we're going to start a series on evangelism, and it's designed to equip you to evangelize, share the gospel with people, lead people to the Lord. And a couple things I'd like to share before we get into the message today is there are several ways that you can do evangelism. Some people are confrontational. I am confrontational at times. Some people are testimonial, share through your testimony. Some people are relational. There are about six ways we're going to look at, one technique per week, and God has designed and wired you to share the gospel in a different way. And so when we say do evangelism, we're not talking about standing on the corner preaching the gospel. We're talking about providing a way that people in your world will be able to receive the gospel, hear the gospel, and receive it, that you can communicate it clearly. And so we're going to be sharing different ways for you to do that over about a month and a half period of time. And so I want you to be praying about God preparing you for that. Number two is write down three names, and you don't have to do it this minute, but you can maybe write this assignment down, a suggestion, to write down three names of people that you would want to see get saved. They could be neighbors, people that you know, not people, you know, in the media, nothing like that. People that, people that you know, that you see all the time, that you have a relationship with whom you're going to present the gospel in somehow, some form. And I would encourage you that one of those people would be someone in your family, at least one family member. But it could be a neighbor, it could be a coworker, a student in your class, a professor, your boss, your employee, somebody, or three people that God, you would say, God, I want to put it on my heart who these three people are. He may have more, may have less. But start praying for them now. Start praying for them now. Because if you don't take an active role in getting them saved, you won't probably be used in getting them saved. So if you plan to fail, you fail to plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if you're not going to plan to get them saved, they may get saved by somebody else, but that's our responsibility. So be praying about that, and the process will be challenging to you, for some of you. You will get nervous, scared. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. That's all from the devil. You can do it. Being nervous is okay. It'll cause you to pray, but it is definitely part of being a Christian. And so start praying now that God would show you who those people are, that they will be prepared, that you will be prepared, that God would start to speak to you. God will start to speak to you about what to say to those people, what questions they might have, what verses you need to know. And when God starts speaking that to you and prompting your heart, I highly encourage you to write down whatever he says. I write notes all day, every day. Stuff God says to me about all kind of stuff. The church, my family, sermons, everything. You know, books, everything. You just write it down when he says it to you, and you'll start to see God do it. Matter of fact, I was praying about a book that I wanted to get that had questions to all these, answers to all these questions that non-Christians might ask. And yesterday I got in the mail from my publisher as a birthday gift a book that's like 400 pages of questions about all kind of issues, Christian issues, Christian ethic issues. And I called him and said, man, I've been praying for this. And he said, God said, okay, here you go. You don't even have to go to the store. Matter of fact, you don't even have to buy it. So I'm just going to give it to you. So if you're in the game with God, if you're in the game, mentally, spiritually, God, I'm in the game, let's go. God's going to start getting you ready. But if you're kind of sitting on the sideline watching me do it, he's going to go to somebody else. Okay, so he wants to use you. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, I want to pray for all those people who everyone here is praying for and going to pray for. I pray you prepare them. And I pray that you would unquestionably reveal your power in everyone's lives here, that they would see you work on the people they're praying for, that they would see you work on their heart, that they would see a change in their life, the things they think about, the things they desire, the things they're interested in, as they get more into the game of evangelism. Amen? Amen. I have my two grandmothers are 88, 89. They both grew up together as little girls in Jamaica, West Indies. And they're both here in the United States. And I was talking to my grandmother a while back. And I said, "Grandma, how you feeling?" "I'm okay." She can't pronounce, or she doesn't, for some reason, pronounce her H's when it's the first letter in the word. So we've teased her for all our lives. Like, she says hello, she says, "Hello, I'm going home." So I said, "Grandma, how you doing?" She said, "I'm okay." I said, "Grandma, how old are you going to be your birthday?" "I'm going to be 88. She's 89, something like that. And I said, "Grandma, you're going to be 100 soon." "I hope not." I said, "What do you mean?" "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." And I was like, "You're ready to go?" And I think back, we all have our Thanksgiving dinners with our grandma. Grandma can cook what only grandma can cook. And you think that it's in her pot, like the taste in her food comes from her pots. Because your mama tries to do it, and it don't come out right. You know what I'm saying? And so my grandmother's specialty is grandma's fried rice. No one can make it. Brown rice. It's just how she makes it. Rice and beans. I'm sorry. Rice and beans. And my mother tried to make it all life, and we always go, "Mom, you can't. Maybe it's the pot, Mom. Maybe it's grandma's pot." So my grandmother comes over to my house and makes the same rice in our pots. It tastes like the same as she makes it, so it ain't the pot. It's you, Mom. But when we had Thanksgiving dinner, or Christmas dinner, or when we ain't got no food, go over there for dinner. There was something about being at her house with our family that was special. I went out to dinner with a pastor from East County, Tony Folio from Sunrise Christian Church. Tony Folio is East Coast old school Italian. And his two brothers, one lives here, but one was from back east, were here too. So we all went out. Now, I'm talking about, these brothers are browner than me, kiss each other, hug each other, all in 40, late 40s, 50 years old, hug and kiss brothers. I mean, his family. And so when I got there and ate dinner, they said, "Miles, we have to explain to you how we eat. Whatever food's on the table is all of ours. So, like, your food is not your food. It's our food." So I was like, so I had to think what I was going to order. I didn't want to order anything mushy, you know, that kind of, you know, it's nasty. Maybe something they could pick a piece of. So take it, but don't, you know. So we had a big plate of appetizers. They said, "Look, just go for it. You know, if it's there, you better take it because it's going to be gone." So I'm sitting there with Pastor Tony, and his brothers come. And sure enough, it was such refreshing because, you know, I haven't been from back east and have a lot of Italian friends. If you don't eat, you are sinning. Matter of fact, I had a friend, I used to go over his house, and his father, when I walked in the house, he would tell his mother, his wife, "Make Miles some food." I'm like, "Mr. Vendetto, I'm not hungry." And he would curse me out. I'm talking about four-letter words. If you don't eat, no, we got a problem. So they eat, feed me, and feed me, and feed me. I'm like, "I'm done." No. Now you got to eat the chocolate we made. It's all, and the food was the bomb. But when you eat with people, something happens with you and those people. Then when you don't eat. Jesus' Last Supper, he was with his disciples, and he had a meal. He took the bread and took the wine and says, "Do this in remembrance of me." They were having fellowship, communion. We're going to take communion today. We're going to have a little meal, bread and wine. Something's going to happen. And what I want to do today is talk about what that is. Because many times we take communion and we don't really realize what we're saying or should be saying by partaking of the meal. Whenever I go on a fast and sit at the dinner table and don't eat, something happens that's different than when I do eat. So we're going to take a meal together, and I want to explain to you, make sure you understand what is going on. First, turn to Matthew 26:26. Matthew 26:26. Matthew 26, verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now turn to Mark's next book, verse 14. Mark 14. Verse 22. Mark 14, verse 22. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Look at Luke chapter 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 22. Verse 19 says, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. What was happening here is Jesus was, they were eating dinner, and he took the bread and took the cup and said, do this in remembrance of me. And we call it communion. Communion comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship, sharing, partnering. When you take communion, when I take communion, we are telling God we are sharing something with you. We are partnering with you. We are fellowshipping with you. We are also remembering, but it's bigger than that. Because when you come and eat some with food with somebody, especially in the context I was talking about, you are bonding with those people, even though you may not realize it. Because you're sharing food with them. You're breaking bread with them. You're eating from the same loaf they are. You're eating from the same bird they are. You're eating from the same cow, if you're eating meat, they are. And you're sharing that with them, and something is happening between you and them. You're bonding with them. Here, Christ is saying, you're not only bonding with the people, you're bonding with me. Four things we want to look at that they had communion for. But first, I want to talk about different views of communion. In the Catholic Church, they believe, they have a view of communion that's called transubstantiation, which means they believe that the bread and the wine actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We don't believe that. We believe it's symbolic. That when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, it doesn't mean he is actually a loaf of bread. When he says, I am the door, it doesn't mean he actually becomes a door. It means he's the way to get in. And so I don't believe that necessarily. There's also another view that says that Christ is present in the bread and the wine or the juice. Don't know? He could be. Sometimes that could cause you to focus too much on the elements and not on Christ himself. You can almost worship the bread and worship the wine. It's only bread and water, or bread and juice. There's another view called the symbolic view, which says that the bread and the juice are symbolic of his body and his blood, which obviously is definitely true. It is definitely symbolic. But then there's the dynamic view. The dynamic view says that the bread and the juice are symbolic of Christ, but through the Holy Spirit, his presence is in the communion at the same time. The Bible says where two or more gather, there Christ is in their midst. And I believe that when we do take communion, when we do share the word, when we do pray, when we worship, Christ is here. And so as we take this, I want us to be thinking about that Christ is present with us. And we are not only remembering, but we are acknowledging and we are fellowshipping, partnering, enjoying the presence of Jesus himself. Amen? And each other. First thing we'll look at, turn to John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. We're going to jump around the Bible today, so get your Bible fingers ready. We're going to look at four things that we commune, have communion with, or that we share with, or that we partner with, or that we have fellowship with. The first thing that we have fellowship with is the Lord himself. We are telling God, God, I want to have communion with you. Not that you're in the room with me, but I want to have communion with you. I want to be one with you. I want to have fellowship, partnership. I want to share with your Holy Spirit. I want you to live in me. I don't want you to just be over there and we're in the same room. I want to have fellowship with you. The Bible says in John 17, 11, look what it says. Jesus says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, what we learn there is that Jesus and the Father are one. They're having communion, fellowship. They're not just talking. They are one. Now, look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe. These are non-believers who will believe through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Lord, I want to take communion, and I'm going to take communion because I want to have fellowship with you. I want to remember that I have established a relationship with you. I want to acknowledge that I have a relationship and fellowship and communion and partnership with you. You is the Holy Spirit. In me. We're one. It's not only in my mind. It's in my heart. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul talks about his desire to have fellowship with the power of God. He wants to partner and share with the part and have communion with the power of God. He wants to interact with the power of God. Look in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Philippians. Paul says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, trash, garbage, that I may gain Christ. You know what Paul says? Everything I have, everything I gained in the world, it is garbage that I may gain Christ. Because guess what? God's going to call you to give up something to know him. A lot of times we want our cake and eat it too. No. No. We don't want, we can't have our cake and eat it too. If you eat the cake, you're going to have consequences. My wife and I, we exercise and watch our health, and I really don't eat ice cream a whole lot, and she doesn't eat a whole lot either. But when she does, I always tease her. I go, consequences. Consequences. She's like, leave me alone. She eats ice cream and, you know, then works out, and consequences dealt with. If you don't work out, there's going to be consequences. If you work out, then you can do it. Now, I don't tell her that. We all know that. But when you, if you want to follow Christ, if you want to know him and experience him, it's going to be consequence. You're going to have to give something up. And what he's going to ask you to give up is not as good as what you're going to get for knowing him. A lot of times we think, God, you don't know how good this is to me. Oh, he says, oh, yes, I know. I know how good you think it is. I know how much you're in love with it, but I also know it's not good for you. What I have is better for you. Look what Paul says. Verse 9. He says that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Watch this. That, why? that I may know him. Everybody say, know him. Say, know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, communion, partnership, the sharing of his suffering, being conformed to his death. You know, he says, I want to have fellowship with your pain. Oh, God, I want to be blessed. But are you interested in my pain? Are you interested in my sacrifice? Are you interested in giving stuff up for me? Because that's part of it, too. You know, you watch the stuff happen in the Middle East on the television, and it's easy for us to make judgment about what should and shouldn't happen. We don't live there. We have no idea what it means to be a Jew in Israel or a Palestinian. We have no idea. I was reading a paper the other day about these two teenage girls. One was a bomber, and one was a victim of her bomb. One teenage girl had a shopping list in the store, and the other girl brought a bomb in the store. And you look at them, they look the same. Because, as you know, the Arabs and the Jews are relatives, biological relatives, through Abraham. And here these two girls, two different destinies, two different backgrounds, two different life experience, very real to themselves. We don't know that. We have our Disneyland life here. Paul says, you know what? I want to know God. If I held up an onion and said, do you know what this is? You say, it's an onion. Do you know about an onion? Yes. Well, let me show you how you can know it better. Bite it. Chew it. Oh, I never knew an onion like that. You want to know God like that. Because many of us have God in our head. We have some verses in our mind. We may have been to church, had a little experience there, a little experience there. But God wants to be all up in your business. That's what he wants. But he's not going to push himself on you. Know God. Communion with the Lord. Lord, I want you to commune with you. I want you to forgive me of my sin and clean out my heart. I want to share with you all my pain, all my questions, all my doubt, all my weaknesses, all my fear, my lack of faith. I want to share all that with you, God, and I want you to share with me all your love for me and all your power. I want you to take my burden off my back. That's communion with God. That's more than just knowing about him. It's about saying, God, here's all what I have. I want to know everything there is to know about you. That's communion. Number two, we have to have communion, or acknowledge that communion means communion with each other. If you're taking notes, write that down. Communion with each other. Fellowship, partnership, sharing with each other. I can't wait to start football. Pop Warner football. I'm a coach, my son's team. And I'm an offensive coach. So I'm making up plays every day. You know, just thinking about all these wild plays and my players. And when we start practice, I'm not only going to teach them football, but I'm going to teach them about teamwork, life, respect, blah, 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 blah. And it's so fun, exciting to see them get it. But one of the things we have to constantly teach them all throughout the year is not to criticize each other. Because kids just do that. Well, I'm sorry. People do that. And, you know, they'll say something to each other and, you know, you this, or, you know, you stink, or you just should have done this. And I'm like, hey, man, hey. That is your teammate. You have to help him. Once we all say we're on the same team, and we're the Chargers, once we all say we're on the same team, isn't that ironic? I don't know if that's good or bad, but once we all say we're on the same team, we are going into the game together to beat those guys. We want to beat them, okay? We want to win, but we have to work together. When you and I take communion, we have to realize that we're not only communing, fellowshipping with Christ. We are fellowshipping with each other. When I was eating dinner with Pastor Folio, if I didn't eat, which I was going to eat because I wanted to eat, but if I said, nah, you know, I'm not going to eat. Now, because he's a godly man, you know, he wouldn't have been fazed as much, but it'd been like, you know, what's up? Why don't you want to eat with us? It's almost offensive. Well, I don't want to fellowship with you. But the fact that I'm eating with you, which I did, and I ate a whole bunch of stuff, is, a matter of fact, I let them suggest to me what they told me some new stuff I never had, Italian food I never had. I'm saying, you know what? I trust you. I want to get to know more about who you are. I want to enjoy your food, your restaurant, and it seemed better that you're paying, so everything's cool. When you say, I want to take communion in this church, you know what you're saying? That's my brother and that's my sister. Now, you may not like that. That's part of the deal, because we are in this together. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, way in the back, before Revelation, the scary book. Don't touch those pages. I tell you, when we go to heaven and die and see all this stuff, it's going to be wild. You're going to see angels. Angels going to be and say, you know, I was following you around ever since you were born. You were a little bad little kid. You were bad. You remember that scar you got over your head? Man, the devil wanted to bust your head open, but I held him back. It's going to be amazing. The Bible talks very little about heaven, you know, very little about heaven. You know why? We wouldn't be able to get it. We wouldn't understand it. That's how unbelievably amazing heaven. You know what's amazing about as beautiful as the earth is, you know, to go to Hawaii, you go to Fiji, you go to wherever, San Diego. And as beautiful as this world is, as beautiful, you ever see a tiger? Beautiful. Orange, stripes, huge, powerful. Beautiful animals. This is cursed. The earth is cursed. This is the bad version of what God intended. That's a whole nother angle. I don't want to get into that because I'll get into my Discovery Channel mode. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship, communion, partnership with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You cannot say, oh, I'm a Christian, fellowshipping with God, at the same time over here living scandalous. You're a liar. You're like, you got a boyfriend? Yo, baby, I love you. I love you. You're so special. Oh, but we got to go to church. You got to be in the Word of God if you want to be with me. Well, I go to church. I'm a Christian. But then they want to go sleep with you. No. It's either one or the other. It's either one or the other. And look what it says, though. It gets even better. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, because he is the light of the world, we have fellowship, communion, partnership with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You know what? If I say I'm walking in the light and you say you're walking in the light, then we can walk together. If I say I want to walk with you and you're in the light, the only way I can walk with you is either to bring you into darkness with me or go in the light with you. But we can't walk together unless we agree. So when we take communion, I'm going to tell you what the standard is right here. That God is God. His word is what we follow. He died on the cross, and he wants you to cast all your cares on him, not me. That's the rules. The rules is that if you have a problem with me, you don't go to someone else. You come to me in love, and my commitment is to respond in love. That's what I have to do. If I don't, I have to repent. That's the deal. The deal is that we have to be honest with each other. The deal is we don't gossip behind each other's back. The deal is that if you're an eye, part of the body, and I'm the mouth, you do the seeing and you let me do the talking. If I'm a toe and you're a finger, you let me do the toeing and you do the fingering. If I'm a toe jam, you let me do the toe jamming and I'll keep the toes stuck together. Whatever it is I am as part of the body of Christ, you have to be, I have to be. Your job and my job is to encourage. The Bible says we have to encourage each other in good works and obedience. That's our job. So when we take communion, we're agreeing to all of that. You can't take communion and say, I love you, brother, and then go out there and curse me out in the parking lot because you cut in front of me in the parking lot. You can't do that. That's wrong. Don't take communion. Or stop cursing people out in the parking lot. But one or the other. Okay? So it's not just, well, yeah, you know, I'm going about my Christian life. Yeah, I got to do this. No, we are partnering together. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 20. It's amazing how people who can be racist and or gossips and or bigots and or male chauvinists and say they love God. Look what it says in verse 20. If someone says, I love God, I'm having fellowship, communion with God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God who's not seen? Come on. Simple. Simple. Man, if I love God, how does that practically work out? Because if I love God, God's love overcomes my issue with you. You know, it has to overcome my issue with you. Why? Because God's love covers a multitude of sin. God's love is stronger than your hate, stronger than my hate, stronger than my jealousy, stronger than my pride. I have to yield. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. Even if I offend you, if I say sorry, guess what? You got to deal with that. You got to forgive me. You have to love me. I got to love you. That's the deal. Is it easy? It's impossible without God. It's impossible. If you do it on your own, you'll never fail. You'll always fail. You never do it. That's why we are here, to encourage each other to do it by faith, trusting in Jesus. It's all part of communion. Third, communion with his purpose. We have to commune with his purpose. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have to have fellowship with the Lord himself, fellowship and partnership with the people of God, and we have to have fellowship and partnership and agreement with his purpose. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the responsibility to lead people to the Lord. He has given us the responsibility and the privilege and the opportunity that people would be joined to God, reconciled to God, that the wall between a non-Christian and God would be removed, that they can have a relationship with God. That is our job. That is our privilege. Verse 19. That is that God was reconciling, that God was in Christ, reconciling, calling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them. He has committed to us the word, the gospel of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Does God plead through you? Or are you hit and run, Christian? What is that? He's a flyer. Church. He's a flyer to Easter. Praise the Lord. I'll pray for you. The Bible says, God is pleading. Pleading. When you see people who are lost, does your heart break? Does it bother you? It should bother you. If it doesn't bother you, you need to pray, God, give me a burden for people. Because if you have no burden for anybody, guess what? You are very selfish. Ooh. Got the toes. Stepping on the toes. It's all about me, Miles, about my hair, my car, my family. It's all about me. And if I got some left over, I help somebody else. Oh, no. Oh, no. Everything you have is from God. Everything you have belongs to God. Matter of fact, you belong to God if you're a Christian. Does it bother you? I mean, Does it bother you to see homeless people? You know, when you see a homeless person, next time you see a homeless person walking down the street, next time you see a show about prostitutes, drug addicts, people in prison, gang members, people lost, just tell yourself this. There was a day when they were a sweet little baby like that one I just prayed for. That's right. No teeth. I was talking to a friend of mine back home. And when I was asking about all our friends, and he was telling me, oh, yeah, this dude, he got no teeth. He's like my age, younger than me. No teeth, riding around a bike, collecting cans. I was like, what? What about this guy? Oh, man, he's messed up. Isn't that? 40 kids, everywhere, drugs, begging, going house to house, shoveling snow for money, 45, 42 years old. Devil just beat people down. Break your heart? It should. Because if you're just about making things comfortable for you, you are selfish. God has said to you, I want the world to be saved. Can I use your mouth?
Not my mouth. No, no, no. My mouth's not available.
Can I use your hands?
Oh, no, 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 no. My hands are busy. My hands are busy. In pockets. Just be in pocket.
Can I use your car, your money, your house, your legs, your skill? Nope.
Then I can't use you then. We don't have communion. We're not together. We're not united. We've been meeting on this building. See what I'm doing? I was in a shopping the other day with my daughters. And I was bonding with this 7-year-old kid, this little boy. He was stressed. The brother was, he had my heart with him. He was like this. And I was like, brother, you don't like shopping. He's like, I said, I'm feeling your pain, man. I'm feeling your pain. Give me five. It was so funny because he's like a little man. He was just walking through the store like this. Waiting for his mom. Just with his bag. I fell for him. So I was standing there and my daughter's trying all this stuff. And my other daughter's looking at me and I'm doing this. So my other daughter was imitating me. It's like this. You know, the building project is going to be huge. It's going to be expensive. Expense is not bad. But the purpose is souls. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And when we take communion, we come to church, the purpose is God ministering to us and through us, period. Because everything else is going to burn. Even your body is going to rot. This right here, this is gone. It's a shell. This is not who you are. This is just a shell. We all got different looking shells. Just a shell. We have to be in with his purpose. Real quick, turn to Matthew. Very quickly. Very quickly. Matthew, please. 11. And if you don't get there, I'm going to read it to you anyway. Just get the time. Matthew 11. Verse 1. It says in Matthew 11, verse 1. I'm going to get there, read there. If you're not there, just catch me. It came to pass when Jesus had finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in the cities. And when John had heard in prison, John the Baptist was his cousin. John the Baptist baptized him. John the Baptist was a man of God, strong, bold, and demanding. Lived out in the desert, wore camel's hair, leather belt, ate locusts and honey. Took no trash, talked trash, and took nothing from nobody. John the Baptist was arrested because he told the king he was an adulterer. Because the king slept with his brother's wife. He was right, got arrested for it. John the Baptist, when he heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Wow. Wow. Why is that a wow? He baptized Christ. He saw the Holy Spirit like a dove come out of heaven. He heard the God the Father, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist, oh man, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. And then he's in prison. He says, are you really the one? If you ever doubt, just ask God. It's okay. Devil will beat you down, discourage you. But the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and gets up again.
But look what Jesus said. Jesus wasn't shocked. He didn't say, I'm going to send him a special revelation. I'm going to make sure he's convinced. Look what he said. Jesus said, go and tell John the things you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed or happy is he who's not offended because of me. That's it. That's it. Are you involved in any of that? Making money? Ain't in there. Ain't nothing wrong with making money, but that ain't in there. Got a big business? That ain't in there. Ain't it wrong having a big business? That ain't in there, though. Are you helping people? Are you doing the work of the Lord? That's what we have to have communion with. Lord, use me. Those three people I'm talking about? Beginning. Last one. Fourth thing. We have to have communion with his method. Fellowship, partnership with his method. You can just write this verse down and I'll read it to you. 1 John 5:3. It says, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. What? Yep. This is the love of God. Do what I say, and when I tell you what to say, it's not going to be hard. That's what God said. Lord, when I take communion today, I want to acknowledge that I am fellowshipping with you. I want to acknowledge that I'm in partnership with my brothers and sisters in the room. None of us are perfect. We're all struggling, trying to help each other. I want to have fellowship and acknowledge that I have fellowship and partnership with the whole purpose why we exist, that the world would be reconciled to you. We are not here to have a big crowd to listen to Miles talk at all. I could talk to myself, and guess what? I can do that too. I mean, I talk to myself all day at home, and it's very entertaining. I was listening to a tape this morning coming here about leadership, and the guy says if you want to be a catalyst, a doer, you got to have high energy, low IQ. There you go. The reason you have low IQ is because you have to be stupid enough to try stuff that doesn't make sense to try. So I can talk to myself all the time, but we're not here for that. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that. And fourthly, we got to do it God's way. Don't do it my way. Do it God's way. My way is not God's way. I don't need to be talking. It's God's way. When you wake up in the morning, you just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God may say, I want you to go over there and talk to that person. But that's not what they said in church. Don't matter. Go over there and talk to that person. Go over there and do that. Quit your job. Start a business. Be more faithful to your job. Go to your job on time. Do work at your job. Give the last three paychecks back because you cheated them. Whatever. But the bottom line is, God, when I take communion, I am saying that I am in agreement. It's your way or the highway. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward with the communion. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward and everybody else to stay seated. Lord, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have given us communion. We thank you that you died on the cross for our sin. And Lord, I pray if anybody here does not have you as a Savior, they are not a Christian, that they would pray with me in the privacy of the heart that you would indeed become their Lord. If you would like Jesus to forgive you, in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I'm a sinner. I haven't been forgiven. I believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. I want a fellowship with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we take communion, as we remember, as we fellowship with you, your Holy Spirit. Make yourself real to us this morning. I pray that this communion would mean more to us today, that we would realize we are acknowledging, remembering, confirming our commitment to be a partner with you and your purpose and the people of God you called here at this church or whatever church we go to. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take the bread and the juice and hold it. We'll take it together.